You're listening to Rose Island Radio at roseislandradio.com. Good evening, my name is Ken Corder, and it's time for Living the Northern Way. Over the last several decades in the West, in Europe and in Canada and in the United States, Christianity as a religion has been on the decline, both in terms of new numbers and in terms of influence. People have been leaving the church in droves and not finding other homes, and more people are becoming what is known in the surveys about religion as the nuns. They check the box that says they are basically none of the above when asked what religion they are. But one of the fastest growing religions in the West, particularly in the United States, but also in pockets throughout Europe, in England and Scotland and Iceland and some of the Scandinavian countries, is something that I and others have called the Northern Way. It was pejoratively, over the centuries, referred to as paganism. But what I'm referring to is a worldview, a way of living in the world and seeing the world that influences all that a person does in terms of how they live their lives, how they marry, how they raise children, how they work, how they relate to their neighbors, to their government, and to their sense of understanding their place in the world. And the Northern Way has been developing for many thousands of years, and it has persisted over time in literature that we've all read. And if you have read some of the great English and Scottish and German and French works throughout your time in high school or in college, and the poetry, the music, the folklore, spiritual documents that have persisted over the centuries. All of those things, you can find the essentials of the Northern Way, which is, like I said, a worldview, a way of living, a way of seeing the world. And it can also, in fact, I believe it essentially has a religious or a spiritual element. And this program is just spend some time each week discussing the Northern Way, at least my view and my experience of living and beginning to find my way through the Northern Way. And last week we had our first episode and I offered an introduction to the Northern Way. And I introduced it in terms of four habits of practicing the Northern Way, or practicing this ancient worldview, which also, as I said, has a religious element, a spiritual element, that has really been forced underground for a millennium and a half, ever since the arrival, really, of Christianity. Christianity was introduced into the European countries, and the people, in many cases, were forced into conversions. Leaders, kings, and so on were converted either by intrigue or through force, or in some cases persuasion, and then they required all of their subjects to become Christians at the pain of death in some cases. And there were just battles and wars fought for centuries, and people were, this Northern Way was basically driven underground. Of course, you can't drive totally. You can't destroy totally something that has been developing for tens of thousands of years within a people's psyche and within their practice. So basically, the Northern Way went underground. It was practiced secretly, or it still showed up just in the psyche. It just appeared in writings and when people were writing about other things, songs and literature and poetry and laws and things like that, it still manifested itself. It just wasn't ostensibly what the Christians were pejoratively calling pagan, or what I would call the Northern Way. But it still persisted. And in many cases, I would say it went into the subconscious or the collective unconscious of the people. And at times it has resurged over history. And we are in one of those times where the Northern Way is starting to resurge in terms of people who are waking up to this worldview and in terms of its influence in the social and cultural life in society. I think that's only going to grow as more and more people awaken to the Northern Way. So, like I said, you'll find many manifestations of this, and because there's not a Pope of the Northern Way, nor is there a revealed truth of the Northern Way, it developed organically for tens of thousands of years among peoples who had similar outlooks on life and similar experiences of life. And those things, as I said, persisted even underground and showing up in different artifacts and literature and so on. And so we have a record of it, as scant as it might be, but yet it also, I believe, has rested in the psyche, as I said, the subconscious or the collective unconscious of the peoples of the North, who, you know, just they have that within them. And once it's revealed, and or once they awaken to it through either someone sharing the Northern Way with them, or they just began to read about it and discover it in different writings. In my case, it was the writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson, who never comes out and says, "I am a proponent of the Northern Way." But when you read his writings in totality, it very much describes an element or a version, and I believe a very powerful version of the Northern Way. And I'm going to get into what that is tonight. But I got a little off track there. What I want to talk about tonight is the first of the four habits of the Northern Way. Last week, when we introduced the Northern Way in our first episode, I described it, as I said, in terms of four habits or practices. And the first is affirming life in the world. The second is pursuing beauty and excellence. The third is cultivating the health of yourself, your family, and your home. And finally, forging an ethic of honor and overcoming. And what I want to do in the next number of weeks is to go through each one of these, take one a week, and just describe it and in more detail, and just how important it is to rounding out what it means to practice the Northern Way, particularly in terms of how I think Emerson and some of the more recent by what I mean the last 150 years, literature in the West and poetry and so on, essays, spiritual writings, how they viewed this Northern Way that still persists and is, as I said, resurging. So tonight we're going to take the first habit of the Northern Way, which is affirming life and affirming the world. Why is that so important? And I believe it's important to start with because what people have been living with in the West for the last 1,500 years, in most parts of the West, and what I mean by the West is Europe and the North America as it was later discovered, and Australia, New Zealand as well. For those peoples of the West, of Europe, who settled and lived in all of these places, the Christian religion, the Christian worldview, was the way of seeing the world. And it became the universal and, in many cases, the required way of thinking. If you were going to have any place in society, you had to be in step with the religion of Europe, which was Christianity. And that worldview is very different from the worldview of the Northern Way. And I'm not the first to argue this, but this is just sort of my summary of Christianity, which is a desert religion that grew out of Judaism, and then Judaism also branched out into Islam. But they're all desert religions from the south and have a very similar morality and ethical outlook and aesthetic outlook in terms of their notions of beauty and whatnot. And I will just describe Christianity as this. And I was a Christian for many decades, most of my life until just 3 years ago, and was even a pastor for 20 years. And I today describe Christianity as a life-denying religion. It does not consider anything in this world of worth. Not nature, not sexuality, not the body. The Christian worldview is that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm waiting for something else. I'm waiting for this other world that exists where I can live in eternity. And all I have to do is believe that the savior of this religion, Jesus, is real, and then confess his name. And if I do that, then I'm good and I'm getting into heaven. But if I don't, then I am damned to the fires of damnation of hell for forever. And so you can see how if someone has that worldview, as much as they pretty it up, and the language is very beautiful in the church, and it's much of it was so meaningful to me for much of my life. But when you really pull back everything, you take off all the garb and the beauty, it's all that there is nothing of worth in this world because it's fallen, it's broken, it's irredeemable. We are all reprobates. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are like dung. We are like worms. And nothing can save us unless God sends his son, who he conceives through some spiritual relationship with a virgin named Mary. And this Jesus comes into the world, and then he can save us again, like I said, if we believe in him and confess his name. That's it. And then we're guaranteed into heaven. And then the rest of the time is just, we're just sort of waiting. We're just passively waiting. And what do you do while you're waiting? If you're, if nothing matters in this world, I hear people say that all the time, you know, when they're talking about politics, oh, things are really bad. And, you know, if this next election doesn't work out, well, you know, Jesus is going to come anytime though. So I'm not worried about it. Or, you know, World War III can happen, but, you know, Jesus is going to come before that happens. There's very much that mindset, and it just devalues everything in this world. And, you know, I didn't want to really believe that for the longest time, until finally I began to awaken to the path of the Northern Way and realized I've just been going through all my life sort of waiting and passively waiting for Jesus' return. And the Northern Way is just the opposite of that. Well, let me back up first and just say what effect that has on the psyche, this denying of the value of the world and of the self. Well, first of all, if in the Christian worldview, nothing here matters because this is not my home, I'm just passing through, and I'm going to lose this old nasty body, and my soul is going to, you know, go to heaven, and I'll get a new body, but right now I'm just nothing is of worth. What does that do to one's psyche? What does that do to the collective culture? What does that do to a civilization when the members of the civilization loathe themselves, that they don't value sexuality, that they don't value marriage and having children and having pride and being strong and conquering and even having hate in your heart for those who hate you? But instead, you know, just being obsessed with forgiveness, and this sense too of equality, where, you know, everybody is equal in God's sight, which is part of the Christian dogma. But not everyone is equal, right? You know, some people are just really bad people, and others are really good, and some people are very talented. Other people don't have all, you know, some people are very bright, some are not. Some are great leaders, others are not. We all have sort of our place where we fall within hierarchies, whether it be at work or within our families, within society. So all of that together has created, in my view, among Christians and on the whole, a anxious, a somewhat depressed and pessimistic, self-loathing, weak, a people who love at any cost, even when, you know, I see these stories where, you know, someone is raped in the family, and, you know, the first response of the father, for example, in court is they'll stand there and I forgive you for what you did. The person raped your daughter. Can we not have hate for that? Is hate not a good thing? Not to dwell on that, but you get the point that there is an argument to be made, and a very strong argument, and others have made it much more eloquently than I have or could, that this life-denying religion and worldview of Christianity can have a detrimental effect on the psyche of individuals and of the culture at large that practices this life-denying, self-loathing, body-hating, sexuality-skeptical outlook. The Northern Way is very different from that. The Northern Way is fundamentally a way of living that affirms life and that affirms this world in the here and the now. And by affirming life, it basically means you say yes to life in all of its good and all of its bad, that this is the world that we have. This is the world that we live in. This is the only world that we know. And so let's say yes to this world. And of course, this world is not perfect, right? It's not the perfect world that the Christians say exists somewhere out there. But if this world is the only one we have, and it is full of good things, it's full of bad things, it's full of, you know, great joys, but also great atrocities and horrific things that can happen and great disappointments and loss. But in spite of all of that, this is the world that we have. And so how are we going to face it? You can either say no to life, and that's where you become very nihilistic and nothing matters and you just have a dreadful outlook at life and you don't care about anything, and or you try to escape into, you know, drugs or to alcohol or to indiscriminate sex or to a cynicism and a pessimism, or you escape into sports ball and you make that your life and any other number of ways that people try to escape the dread that can come with living in this world. So you can fall into nihilism and say nothing matters, or you can say this is life. This is the world that there is. I can either say no to it, or I can say yes, and I am going to pour everything I have into this one life, and I'm going to live in ecstasy and in amazement and in wonder of whatever this is. I am going to be a part of it, and I'm going to create something excellent and something beautiful and something meaningful with my life. That is a spirit of victory. That's a spirit of conquering. That's a spirit of overcoming. And that's what I mean by affirming life, is not resenting life because it's not what I want it to be, or judging life against some imaginary perfect world, but taking the world as it is. And really, with all of the dreadful things that we face in the world and the tragic things we face, there's also so much beauty. There's also so much wonder, many things to be amazed at, many things to enjoy and savor in this brief time that we have here on this earth while we have the chance. And to affirm that is just to say yes to it, to embrace it and to engage it. And when you do that, when you engage life fully and you say yes to life, it changes everything. You're no longer resentful. You're no longer angry. You're no longer a judgmental or pessimistic. You can become an optimist in terms of what life can bring, because whatever life throws at me, I can develop an indomitable will to overcome. And I can develop ways to survive and thrive in this world that I get to create, and that I get to work with others, and I get to find a spouse. I get to create children. I get to develop a talent. I get to overcome in my difficulties. I get to take opportunities and find victories and conquer in areas. And those are that's very empowering, and that brings purpose to our lives. And I began to discover in the literature of the Northern people, the poetry, the history, the folklore, the folk songs, the architecture, the presence of this monster of energy that was burning in the soul of the Northern way. And it kept showing up everywhere. I found strong, vital writers and historical actors who were warriors, explorers, creators, poets, builders of civilization, and a religiosity that celebrated life and adored nature, loved the human body, pursued health, the strong family, and passing on the rich genetic store of the people and the culture. And these characteristics depicted a people who were fully alive, vital and virile, and joyful and expansive. That's the Northern way. And the main writer that really awakened me to the Northern way, as I said, was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And there were several other writings as well, but I want to focus on Emerson tonight because he was so influential on me since I actually discovered him in my junior year in high school, way back in the day. Emerson said that, and this this wasn't original to him, but he was very eloquent in presenting this in his day to his audience, and it still resonates very powerfully today. He was arguing in the body of his work that we do not live in a dualistic cosmos of good and bad, of a perfect distant God and an evil creation. We are part of a great unity that is divine. God is not out there somewhere. God is not even in us. We are in God, what Emerson called the oversoul. We're not God, but we are part and particle of this one, of the light, of the fire. As Emerson said, we are children of the fire. And so you can see how fundamentally different the Northern way habit of affirming life and this world is from Christianity and the other desert religions, which are negative and resentful and guilty and passive and have an unhealthy approach to existence. Whereas Ralph Waldo Emerson was confident that if we don't look somewhere out there for God in man-made in the man-made revealed religions, but instead look within us and within nature, we will see that we are part of the fire, that we are part of this divine burning, and that this fire, this light, serves as a worthy guide. Emerson called this guide the wise silence. And in this vein, the Stoics taught that we are to obey ourselves. Obey thyself, they would teach. And Emerson would write famously, trust thyself. Of course, we have to work our way to find that true self below the false self, the false persons that we create and we fashion over time. And we all do that. We create this fake, inauthentic, artificial self that we have to break through to get to who we really are. But when we do, and we can do that through the Northern way, we awaken to a whole nother life, and it's a powerful life. The Northern way, Emerson said, is a faith that should blend with the light of rising and setting suns, with the flying cloud, the singing bird, and the breath of flowers. So how do we begin to affirm life in the world? Well, just briefly, I'll close with this. Emerson said that the answer is first soul, and second soul, and evermore soul. This is the realization and awareness that you are part and particle of the oversoul, of the one that is everywhere present. And we've lost that. It's been taken from us. It's been hidden from us, in a sense. But we are still that. As the Upanishad says, you are that. And the world and people have a way of blocking our experience of this. of this spark, of this divine gift that we are, being part of and particle of the One. The Quaker writer Parker Palmer wrote that we are disabused of original giftedness of the soul in the first half of our lives. Then, if we are awake, aware, and able to admit our loss, we spend the second half of life trying to recover and reclaim the gift that we once possessed. And that's what I am trying to do with this discussion of the Northern Way, is to just introduce it to people in this fashion, that there is a fire within us, and that is us living and dwelling in the One. We are children of the fire. We are part and particle of the divine, and it flows into us as a stream whose source is hidden, as Emerson said. And if we awaken to this power in us, it changes everything. And it gives us the power, and it gives us the will, and it gives us the strength, the creativity, the genius to overcome the difficulties of life, as tragic as they can be, so that in all things we can say yes to life. We can affirm the world, and we can affirm life. So that's the first habit of the Northern Way, as I like to talk about these four habits: affirm life and affirm the world. So we'll stop there for tonight, and next week we will describe the second habit of the Northern Way, which is one of my favorite, and that is pursuing beauty and creating excellence. Thank you for joining us for Living the Northern Way. To learn more, you can visit northernway.online. That's northernway.online. And again, this program re-airs on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and past episodes are also archived at northernway.online. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Living the Northern Way on RoseIslandRadio.com. Real folk for real people. This is Rose Island Radio.